Okay, so we're going to talk about holiness this morning. And there's a verse I shared with that group last week after the fifth time I spoke. At the fifth time, I said, there is a verse in Proverbs chapter 28, I believe it is, that says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's door, lest he get tired of thee and hate you. It's in there, by the way. So I thought, after you hear me talk five times, you kind of wish, why doesn't he just go away? And I told him, because you paid me for five. So this is my fifth one. But the same goes with you. You've heard me, what now, three or four times, and you'll be glad to get a new pastor in a couple weeks and a new speaker. So here we go. What does holy look like? All right, so we're going to scroll to the next slide. Does it look like any of those? Wait, when you think of the word holy, does a picture come to mind? I'm not talking about holy smoke, you know, or holy cow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about holy. What comes to mind? Is it a picture? Is it a person? Is it a definition? Is it a scripture verse? What comes to mind? I wonder if in our minds, holiness is one of those concepts that we think you either are or you aren't. You're either holy or you're not. So we tend to think of pastors as being holy. Don't do that. Archbishops and cardinals and popes and deacons and all these people in hierarchies of the church, we think of them as holy. Don't do that either. We are saints, but we're not holy. Figure that one out. But anyway, that's what the Bible says. So listen, does one work at becoming holy? Don't answer me out loud. Just think about it. Does one work at becoming holy? And if you are working at becoming holy, is that a self-effort at trying to save yourself? We trust God, of course, yes, but we got to work hard too. You know what I mean? You got to live like a Christian. You got to live like a saint. You got to live like you're holy, at least so other people can see a little bit of your holiness. What they can't see can't hurt you anyway, can it? Trust God, yes, but work hard. Or does one depend simply on trusting God? How does that work? I mean, just God will make me holy and we'll be fine. Does that work? Do I become holy simply by trusting? After all, God will give me his righteousness, as we're going to read at the end of the text today. His righteousness becomes mine. How do I become holy? Have you figured this one out? Because if you have, I'd love to hear from you. Or, does God's righteousness become ours? And with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we learn and grow every day and become more like Jesus every day. Now, there are sects of believers and there are groups of believers and denominations that believe you can become fully holy before you get to heaven. So you become entirely sanctified and therefore you have no sin in your life. There are those groups. I'm not quibbling with them. I just can't belong to them because I sin every day. I try not to. But, you know, it's just, you're human. I wonder how many people, and you might be sitting here this morning and saying, this may be your first time, and do come back when the real pastor comes back, okay? But, I mean, this may be your first time, and you're thinking, just what I figured. You know, I come to church, and some guy gets up and spouts about holiness. I wonder how many people just give it up. And say, this is a no-win situation. I can't figure. He can't figure. Look, he sounds all confused, and he's only 4 minutes into his sermon. How am I supposed to figure it out? I haven't got the foggiest. And they sort of turn around saying, it's a no-win situation. You know the ironic thing? Is that 40 years ago, I had a pretty clear picture of what holy was. Really. I mean, I had this figured out. It's like I knew how to raise kids before I had four of my own. But it seems that the more I read the Bible, the more I read about Jesus, the less I am able to answer unequivocally the way I used to about what is holy. Jerry Bridges wrote a book years ago, I'd say probably late 80s, and it was I just forget the title, but it had to do with holiness. A powerful book that just sold millions. But he said this: many Christians have what we might call a cultural holiness. That is, they adapt to the character and behavior pattern of Christians around them. And as the Christian culture around them is more or less holy, so these Christians are more or less holy. But God, listen now, but God hasn't called us to be like those around us. He's called us to be like himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. Not to the character of a pastor or a deacon or your friend who you think is holy. That, you know, we compare ourselves, and comparison really is the thief of joy in many ways, because we compare ourselves to other Christians, and can't I be like them and like her and like him? And look at how they pray, and look at how they stand up, and look at how many words they use, and isn't that wonderful, you know? But it's not that at all. So the word holy, which in the Hebrew simply means separation, sometimes brings to mind people who are out of touch with their world, people slightly eccentric, maybe lots eccentric, not quite approachable, a lot of heavenly good, a lot of heavenly mindedness, but you wonder, are they in touch with reality? That's not holy either, I don't think. And then there's this verse here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, has this. You can probably, if you've been coming to church for a long time, you can probably finish it. It goes like this: without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, let's close up our Bibles and just go home while we're still breathing. Do you understand? These words make my spiritual heart tremble. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And our mind goes into overtime. We start thinking, am I holy? Am I holy enough? Will I ever be holy enough? How can I achieve holiness? How do I do this? It's a sobering thought to read that without holiness, we shall not see the Lord. It's much like when Jesus told the disciples that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to be saved. Do you remember what the disciples said? They said to Jesus, who then can be saved? Really? So we're all finished. We're finished. And I think that answer can, that holiness, we can feel the same about holiness. Well, then who can be holy? Who can really be holy? The answer Jesus gave about salvation also applies to holiness. Can I push you there? The same answer Jesus gave the disciples about salvation also applies to holiness. And that is that with man, this is impossible. Matthew 19:26. With man, salvation is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Salvation is impossible without God. Holiness is impossible without God. So I'd like to give you the equation for the morning, okay? You ready for this? This is my next slide. This is our equation for this morning. Man equals impossibility. God equals all possibility. Is that what I wrote? Had myself worried there for a minute. I thought it wrong. So let's get something straight. Here it is. Without God, we don't have a hope. Okay. You can tell your friends that. believers or not believers, you can tell them. Without God, you don't have a hope. I don't believe in God. Then that's fine. You don't have a hope. You don't. What are you going to tell them? You have a hope? You can't. So you might as well be upfront with them and say, that's fine. You don't have to believe in God. God doesn't want you to believe in him. I mean, in terms of, you know, force you. If you don't believe, that's okay. It's a decision he's given you to make. But there's no hope for you. Without God, we don't have a hope. Without God, there is no such thing as spiritual life. See, we like to think this business today of, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I don't go to church, but I'm spiritual. Wait a minute here. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're spiritual. And just because you don't go to church doesn't mean you're not spiritual. You following me? The point is, it's not one of the, they're not mutually exclusive. But spirituality has to go with God in our definition. Or else you're talking about the spiritual of wooden bench, right? The spiritual of a tree. The spiritual nature of the air. The spiritual nature of the stars. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just simply saying that those things are things that God created, so God has to be behind even that. Are you following me? You feel free to shake your head, yes or no, or both ways. Doesn't matter. Without God, there is no holiness. Can you say that with me? With that, there is no holiness. So what is holiness? What is it? Okay, I think sometimes defining things is better to define what they're not in order to understand better what they are. You with me? Here we go. Holiness really cannot be knowledge. It's a part of it, but I don't think it's knowledge. Many people know lots of things about the Bible, but they're not holy. I had a Jewish professor in university who could just about, he devoured this thing. And he respected it highly. And he could quote every jot and tittle of it. He wasn't a believer. But he had knowledge, lots of it. It's not rituals, no, because there's lots of people who do rituals. The Pharisees in the New Testament were full of rituals, but I don't think Jesus considered them holy. It's not good works. It's wonderful, but it's not good work. Just because you do good works doesn't mean you're holy. Judas wanted to feed the poor. It's not professing right belief. The Sadducees had that right. It's not going doing great things. A political group called the Zealots in the New Testament did that, but it's not doing great things that makes you. It's not talk and zeal. Philosophers at Mars Hill, where Paul preached, when he finished praying, he's preaching about this God that was unnamed in their midst. They said to him, "Oh, Paul, that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing with us. Maybe we'll hear you again sometime." Because Paul matched their wisdom with his wisdom and went toe-to-toe with philosophy, but they loved it, but didn't care about his God. And sometimes we can do that, you see. But it's not morality. Holiness is not about morality and outward respectability of conduct. The rich young ruler had that. He says, "I've kept all those things." We couldn't say that. At least I couldn't say that. "I kept all those 10 commandments. What else do I need to do?" It's not keeping company with godly and religious people. It's not going to church. Just because you hang around church people or you hang around people who talk about God doesn't mean you're holy. So having said that, what holiness is not, are you ready for this? Are you ready? We can now say that holiness is all of those things. It's not any one of those things. It's all of those things. Holiness is about doing good. Holiness is about right thinking. It is about obeying God's command. It is loving God as much as possible with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbors. It is about being kind and honest and truthful. It is trying to live in a spirit of mercy and grace toward. It's seeking after a pure heart. It's walking in the Spirit and having the mind of Jesus. It is to be faithful in all these aspects. You see, to do all of these and hope that they make you holy, follow me now. To do all those things we've talked about and hope that they make you holy is like one day going to God and saying, "Here I am. Look at what I did. I became holy by myself. Holy me." That may not work. That may not work. However, when I open my heart to what God has for me, and I'm not talking about opening my heart to a religious organization or to a particular mind of thing. When I open my heart to God, what he has for me in his word, and learn to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, as I allow the Holy Spirit to work all these things in my life, little by little, in his strength, we now will be getting close to the character of God. Are you following me? You got me? So it's not what you do that makes you holy. It's not what you don't do that makes you holy. It's opening our lives to God and in his strength, allowing him to work in us so that he makes us holy. Do you understand? Now that means you got choices. It means you either obey what he says or you disobey. You either do what he calls you to or you don't. You either shun what he shuns or you don't. You understand what I'm saying? If you go home this afternoon and you want to read some good stuff, just prior to your nap, in Leviticus chapter 19. Now you'll see in Leviticus 19 that holiness is not just symbolized by avoiding that which is declared ceremonially unclean. You're going back to the Old Testament, remember? So it'll be ceremonially clean and unclean. Instead, holiness, look, you can read it this afternoon if you like. Holiness is described and defined in terms of, here are some of the things it talks about. Respect for one's parents, generosity toward the poor, honesty, justice, love for one's neighbor, and on the list goes. Leviticus chapter 19. In Leviticus 20, the following chapter, holiness encompasses the entire spectrum of human conduct and how and following the laws of God laid down. Now stick with me here. Stick with me. You see, by following those things, you don't become holy yourself. But by following those things in the strength of God, God makes you holy. Okay? Holiness is not about one issue. It's not about a list of things. It's a swath of life. It's not a moment or a list of things. It's life itself. God is not asking us, now follow here carefully, God is not asking us to become holy in our own strength or by ourselves. He's not saying, now, go and be holy. He says, be thou holy as I am holy. But he's given us a whole playbook on how to do that. You imagine a football player joining up with our Montreal Alouettes, and he shows up at game day, and he says to the coach, you know what? I think I'd like to play. Well, you can imagine what the coach is going to say, first of all. Do you know, you haven't been here, you haven't practiced, you haven't been around, I don't even know who you are. No, but I know how to play, I know how to play. I know what this is called, the football. I know this is a football field. Do you think I can play? It's ludicrous, right? That's just like us trying to go to God and saying, I want to be holy, but I can be holy, thanks. I don't need the playbook. I don't need the playbook. Until that player learns all the plays in that playbook, he's of no value to the team. Until we begin to ingest this word, how can the Holy Spirit work in our lives? How many times have you caught yourself, Lord, work in me, use me, I make myself available to you, but we haven't been in the word? And I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit says, I'd love to use you, but you don't know nothing. I got nothing to work with. I don't have anything in your life to work with. Your availability is wonderful, but you're not hiding the word in your heart so that you might not sin against me. You're not hiding the word in your heart so I can work the principles of the word in your heart. You're not hiding the word in your heart. What are you giving me to work with? Nothing. That's why the Word and the Spirit work together. What's the first job description of the Holy Spirit is to teach us the truth. Where does the truth come from? The Word of God. Sanctify us with your truth. As long as our notions of holiness are about us doing and not doing, we'll go through life checking off lists and then saying, oh, I must be holy. No. Because the real issues of life is, whose are you? Whose are you? Are you God's or are you your own? I am my own man. You are your own woman. Is that who you are? Then you can't belong to God. If you belong to you, you can't belong to God. How many people can you belong to? You know? Who do we pledge allegiance to? When we look at the Bible characters, we see in the Bible that, and their lives are given to us so clearly, they're not perfect, but are they holy? In all their actions, were they holy? No. Were all their thoughts holy? No. But what was their first love? I think it was here that I said a couple weeks ago, how can David be, when you think of the sin of adultery, who do you think of? David. When you think of premeditated murder in law cases, David is used. But when you think of a man after God's own heart, who do you think of? David. Now, what's the deal here? Door number one, door number two, or door number three? Well, all through David's deeply flawed humanity and all the characters of Scripture, you always saw someone whose heart was after God. Not perfect, but after God. In their failure, in their sin, they always turned back to God. They walk towards God. Even in sin, repentance bent them back towards God. There are days after you finish sinning or after you've sinned and you realize how stupid you really were. How could I fall into that again? You can either go off like Judas did and say, there's no hope for me, and hang yourself. Well, no, don't do that. But I mean, you go off and just give up on it. Or you can do what Peter did in saying, I've betrayed my Lord, but I'm going back to him. Do you see? One gave up on holiness. One walked into the faith of Christ. You have choice. You have choice. You can sit here this morning and say, well, is there any hope at all? Is there any hope for me who I sin quite often? Is there any hope for me that I can't seem to stay on the straight? Yes, there is. My encouragement to you, keep turning back to God. Keep turning back to God. And while you keep turning back to God, keep feeding on his word. Do you follow? The action is to keep feeding and keep turning back to God. Oswald Chambers says, God's call to be holy is a radical, all-encompassing claim on our lives, our loves, and our identity. There is no shortcut to holiness. It's day by day turning back to God. Now, next screen says Micah 6:6. I'd like you to read this with me. I think there are two screens here, so let's start with here. Shall we read together? With what shall I come before the Lord? I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. You know what the key phrase is there? The key phrase for me? Exactly. To walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God. To be holy means that all we are and all we have, as Matthew said this morning, belongs to God. Every aspect of our life is shaped and bent towards God. Be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. Holiness is about union with God. It's about walking with God. It's about sharing in God. It's about walking with God in union with Christ and sharing in Christ's holiness. You understand? Receiving gratefully the righteousness that can only come from Christ and hiding in His holiness rather than in my established type of holiness. Folks, can I give you some breaking news? None of us have it together enough to be holy. Do you understand? If you think you do, that's the first reason you should repent. Okay? Next slide tells us what Paul talks about regarding holiness and righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Would you read it with me, please? For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Not by yourself, not by myself, but in Him we become the righteousness of God. Remember John 15? Jesus says, you got to be grafted into the vine. The minute you snap a branch, it dies. But when you're in the vine, then you're in the right vine, then you get the flow and the life from that vine. This is your lifeline right here. It doesn't matter who tells you anything different. If you're not plugged into here, God has nothing to work with. He doesn't. He doesn't. So let's go back to our first equation. There it is there. Next slide. The next slide. No, there it is there. So would you stand with me? So the equation for the morning is this. Man equals impossibility. Can't do it by yourself. Can't do it by yourself. Here you have permission to throw your hands up and say it can't be done. But the next part says, God, with God, all things are possible. So now I've chosen a psalm this morning, Psalm 15. I'd like you to read it with me. You read well together. So I'd like you to read it with me. And I think it's in two different slides. There it is. So we'll start there. This is Psalm 15. Now, someone says, okay, so you've talked an awful lot for 25 minutes. What is holiness? You never told us. I did so. You were sleeping. No, I'm just kidding. What is holiness? It's everything you ever wanted to do to think that would make you holy. And if you do it in your own strength, it doesn't work. But you put that and add it to what God has already told us. In fact, let God lead the way, and you'll be doing what you think is right to do in His strength, and His holiness will begin to course through your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't do it on your own. It's the Spirit of God that has to work through you. So how does this work? Well, the psalmist fought with this. So can we read this together and see what happens here? Just let me cross that so I know where you're stopping. All right, let's read together, shall we? Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? Okay, stop there. You've got to repeat those two questions. Ready? Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? So you know what the tent was? There was a special spot in the tent that was reserved called the Holy of Holies. If you went in there without an invitation, you fried. Literally, you fried. You went in there. Moses went in there when he was called in. Next question. Who may live on your holy mountain? So these are questions. Who's holy enough to come and be near you? Let's go on. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others. Next slide. Who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Never be shaken. And if you go back to Micah, the key phrase is walking humbly with your God. You bow your head, close your eyes. I'm finished. Father, a lot of good words were said. I understand that. And sometimes words don't always do it. But we're going to take a moment right now and ask your Holy Spirit to cement those words into our lives. Would you just take your hands and place them before you with palms up in a posture of prayer and say, Father, I await your Spirit to speak into my life. Just go ahead and do that. It's okay. Nobody's looking. Your eyes are closed. Father, speak into our lives this morning. Father, your heavenly word commands us to be holy as you are holy. And we know that in and of ourselves, we cannot live in true holiness of heart. Except your Holy Spirit does a life-transforming work in us so that Jesus can live his life in us. Thank you that we can be born into your family, united together to Christ and one with him. And we pray that more and more the nature of Jesus may be developed in us until we can say with Paul, my old self has died and been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives his resurrection life in me and works through me. We ask that you would root out the parts in us that are counter to what you desire for us, transforming us daily into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray as we did at the beginning of this talk and through the service that, Lord, that you would have your way with us, that your will would be done in our lives, that we may desire to become living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. We want to do this not to the praise and glory of a congregation or of a church denomination or of a church name or a person. We want to do this to your praise and glory. Add your prayer to that, would you? Just add your prayer to that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, Amen.